I hope everybody has my beautiful paper. As we are in the drawing center, finally my lecture has to take the form of a drawing too. And as you can see, it's a really beautiful one. Beautiful, but probably mysterious. So a great part of my lecture will be an explanation of the mysterious paper. We have this evening to discuss about the Hartz imperative. If there is something like an imperative in the heart, I propose to express it in a short manner, speaking the unspeakable. But is there really, in the field of arts, something like an imperative? Why? It's not the law of success, a success story, the field of art. Is not the true imperative, many people like your work, your name is in many conversations, many people buy your books, your paintings, your movies, and so on. You make a good living. You are rich and famous. Is not in our world today the Hartz imperative as such. In fact, it's not exactly like that. We have many examples of a contrary. I think of the French poet Rimbaud, probably the most important French poet at the end of the 19th century, who dies practically unknown. And the work of whom was something like a recreation of French poetry. I think also to the work of Kafka, certainly one of the most achievements of the beginning of the century, of the last century. And Kafka does not finish any of these stories. More generally, we can represent the destiny of arts under an imperative which is we have to continue. Continue. You know, the beginning of a new subjectivity in the field of arts is always in the form of some events. Something happens, something new happens, and you have to be in the fidelity to this novelty. So, imperative in art is always in the form we have to continue to be in the fidelity to the novelty, to an event, to continue the work of art, the creation as such. And when the creation continues, we have the appearing of a new subjectivity, a new artistic sensibility. And as individuals, we are incorporated in this new subject, in this new artistic subject. So, the first imperative is to continue the work, the creation, the incorporation to a new subjectivity. And to continue not only when it is possible to continue, but also when it is impossible to continue. I know of the last words of a great book of Samuel Beckett, The Unnameable. At the very end of this book, the speaker is saying, I have to continue. I cannot continue. I shall continue. That is the real form of the artistic imperative, to continue when it is possible, but to continue also when it is impossible. And this impossibility is something like a new realm, a new form of the artistic realm. So we have to explore the question of unspeakable, of impossibility to speak in the field of arts. The moment where the imperative is to continue without guarantee of any possibility to continue. And for explaining completely this point, we have to explore the field of art between being and appearance. Because something of the real of art is on the side of real being, continuation, impossibility. And something in the field of art is on the side of appearance. Sensible appearing, new forms, and so on. And so we can say it's an old idea, an old philosophical idea, that arts are always somewhere between being and appearing, between being and appearance. And so I have just, to begin my talk, to explain in few words my conception of the distinction between being and appearing, and finally between being and existence. And it's why we have the picture, the drawing, the mysterious paper. Suppose we consider as pure being a pure multiplicity as such. Pure being without qualities, without determination. Pure being as pure being, or in technical terms, being qua being. As many philosophers today, we put that being qua being is not the one, is not the big one, is not something like a god, something like a being being, if you want. We put that being as such is only pure multiplicities, without the unity of a god or of the big one. So when we speak of being as such, we speak only of multiple, multiplicity and multiplicité, which is composed of elements, of some elements. That is the first point. Being qua being as multiplicity. The second question is to understand the appearing of multiplicities in a real world. Being as being is something purely abstract. And in fact, we can think about being as being in the way of mathematics. Being qua being is finally a mathematical question. But we have to understand something else, which is the appearing of some multiplicity in a real and concrete world. And it's this point that you have briefly in the picture, in the paper. I just comment the paper, so you have to see it. We suppose we are in the horizon of a world, the big totality of a world. We suppose that in this world we have the appearing of some multiplicities, A, B, C, D, and so on. So in the great cycle, which is a world, we have some cycles which are multiplicities in the world, multiplicities which are appearing in the world. And any element of a multiplicity, if you want any point of real, any point of any multiplicity which appears in the world, is correlated, associated with a degree of existence. To appear in a world is always appearing with a degree of existence, or if you want, a degree of appearing itself. Something which appears in a world with a very strong intensity of appearing or of existence, something else may appear with a feeblest degree of existence, and so on. So, in a world, we have not only multiplicities, but we have something else, which is the intensity of appearing of elements of multiplicities. And in a concrete world, we have always two definite points of intensity, 2 degrees of intensity, the minimal degree and the maximal one. And in general, we have many degrees which are between the minimal degree of existence and the maximal degree of existence. In the paper, the minimal degree is the Greek letter mu, and the maximal degree is the big M, and an intermediate degree is some other letters. In the picture you have P. In reality it's much more complex, but I explain something just for my goal, which is finally the imperative of art. So I can summarize all that very simply. A world is in fact something like a place for the appearing of multiplicities, and the elements of all the multiplicities which appear are indexed, if you want, associated with a degree of existence. So you have the multiplicity, And you have something like a variation of intensities of appearing for all the elements of the multiplicity. So we have finally in a world some things which appear with great intensity and some things which appear with much more feeble intensity and some things which appear with practically no intensity at all, when they appear with the intensity which is minimal in the world. Okay. And so we can speak of a clear distinction that is in fact our essential goal. We can speak of a clear distinction between being as such and existence. Being, qua being, is multiplicity as such. Without any degree, it's a multiplicity with all its elements. And existence is the multiplicity, but with some degrees of existence of all the elements of the multiplicity. And so the difference between pure being and existence in a world, in a concrete world, is finally the question of degree. We have a qualitative dimension of existence. We have a quality of existence, which is its intensity. On the side of being, we have only pure mathematical determination, pure collection of elements. The point which is now the most important for us, for this talk, is the following point. Given a multiplicity which appears in a world, for example, the multiplicity D, given the elements of this multiplicity, the different points of the multiple, naturally, all these elements appear too in this world. When a multiplicity appears, all the elements appear too in the world, but with different degrees of existence, different degrees of intensity of existence. In this condition, that is the point, it's always true that there is a component of this multiplicity, an element of this multiplicity, whose appearing is measured by the feeblest degree of existence. So, you can see the fact. When a multiplicity appears in a world with all these elements which are indexed on the degrees, there is always one element, one point, which appears with the minimal degree of existence. This point is of extreme importance for the question of art, in fact. I will say it again. A multiplicity appears in a world like A, B, C, D in the paper. All the elements of this multiplicity have degrees of appearing, which is degrees of existence in the world. And it happens that there always exists one of these elements which appears with the feeblest degree of existence. That is to say, if you want, which exists minimally. there is always one element which exists minimally. For example, in the paper, the multiplicity D on the left appears in the world. The element A appears with the feeblest degree of existence, which is mu, the Greek letter mu, and so the element A appears with the minimal possibility of existence in the world. But you can understand that existing minimally in a world is like non-existing at all. Because from inside the world, when you exist minimally, you cannot exist less. So, naturally, it's exactly like you don't exist at all. From inside the world, naturally. If you are outside the world, you can do comparisons between some different worlds. And you can say this degree of existence is minimal in this world, but is not in another world. So there is difference between minimally existing and not existing at all. But if you live, if you are inside the world, there is no possibility to distinguish between existing minimally and don't exist at all. So we can say, can formulate the law in a different manner, and we can say there is always, when a multiplicity appears in a world, there is always one element which does not exist. Naturally, this element is. There is a being of this element. But in the world, it does not exist. This is why we call this element the inexistent, like you can see in the paper. And we can say something like that. When a multiplicity of being appears in a world, there is always an element of this multiplicity that is an inexistent of this world. It is the inexistent proper to this multiplicity and relatively to this world. So in the paper, the element E in the multiplicity D is the proper inexistent of D relatively of the world which is represented on the paper. And understand well that this inexistent does not have an ontological characterization. It's not nothingness. It's not inexistent. Is not something which does not is. There is a being of the inexistent. It is something, but it is something which in the world does not exist. And to understand that, we have to completely understand the distinction between being and existence. So the inexistent is, but does not exist. Okay? If you want, we can say that to be an inexistent, which is always relative to one world, is an existential characterization. It's an existential characterization and not an ontological one. It's a minimal degree of existence in a particular world. Alors, what is interesting, but I cannot do anything of that this evening, is that we can demonstrate this point. There is a formal demonstration of the necessity of the inexistent. Not too complex, but not too simple. And it's a very interesting demonstration when you formalize, if you want, much more or a little more, the distinction between being as pure multiplicity and existence as multiplicity in a world. We can formalize that. And when you have a good formalization, we have a proof, really, that for any multiplicity which appears in a world, we have a point which is the inexistence of the multiplicity. So if we want, but it's a joke, we can prove the existence of the inexistent. And it is why the demonstration has something like a joke. But there is really a demonstration. But it must be remembered that the inexistence of a multiplicity is always the inexistence of this multiplicity in a specific world. I shall give you an extremely well-known example of something like that, after this hard abstraction. In the analysis that Marx proposes of capitalist societies, proletariat, working class, proletariat, is properly the inexistent specific to political multiplicities. In the world of political multiplicities, for Marx, proletariat is the name of something which is exactly the inexistent of this world. Naturally, Marx does not think one second that the proletariat has no being. It does not politically exist, but naturally, that does not at all mean that proletariat has no being. On the contrary, Marx is going to fill volume after volume to explain what it is, the proletariat. So it is. It is, if Marx is right. But the question of it is not the question of it exists. If you want, the social and economic being of the proletariat is not uncertain. What is uncertain is its political existence. The proletariat is the proper inexistent in the sphere of political presentation. It is there, something like the working class is there, but with the minimal degree of appearance, the minimal degree of political existence in the world, what Marx describes. And it does not appear properly in this world. This is obviously what the International, the great thing of the working class, says, we have been known, we shall be whole, under the red flag. What is meant by we have been known? Those who proclaim we have been known are not affirming their nothingness. They simply assert that there are nothing in the world such as it is. When it is a question of appearing politically, from the point of view of their political appearing, they are nothing. And becoming all supposes changing the world, which means changing the degrees of existence. changing the disposition of all the degrees of existence. The world must change so that something which was an inexistent of the world becomes a point which exists really in the world. Alors, that is a classical example. And there is a general law of the appearing or of the being there in a world. Appearing is that, being there in a concrete world. There always is a such a point of inexistence. And I can now say what is a work of art in its relationship with the world. A work of art is the construction of an artificial thing made with material multiplicity of a world, made in a world with material multiplicity of this world, construction of an artificial thing in such a way that it becomes possible to inscribe the inexistent. I repeat, it's a fundamental definition. Work of art is the construction of an artificial thing in a world, construction made with material multiplicities of this world. So it's a composition which is made with the world itself, but as an artificial thing. And the goal of this construction is that it is made in such a way that it becomes possible to inscribe an inexistent. And to recognize in the work of inscribing the inexistent that this inscription is, properly speaking, impossible. You have to inscribe the inexistent. You create the possibility of this inscription, but with a constant recognition that this inscription is, properly speaking, impossible. So what is a work of art, and what is the first form of the imperative of art? We have to inscribe the impossibility of the inscription of the inexistent as a form of its inscription. We have to inscribe the fact that it is impossible to inscribe the inexistent as a form of its inscription.